That's the intro.
I'm Tamara.
And I'm hot and ready. And also Rel.
And this is Fearful Friends Podcast. Oh, that was a strong one.
Thank
you. Love that.
I'm drinking wine now.
Okay.
Oh, no. It's fine. Everything's fine. What's up?
Where do I start?
Well, you can't start with what you talked about in last week's episode
because
that was last week. Which was only 10 minutes ago for us, but I don't want to hear about it again.
That's why we're a little giddy. No. First of all, this may sound stupid, but...
Is it about math?
No.
Oh, good.
It's so much stupider. Why can't I find just like a normal shirt?
What is wrong with the shirt you're wearing?
I don't want to wear an oversized t-shirt that looks like I'm wearing pajamas every day. Like, I have work clothes.
Tamara, your work clothes are like what used to be our going out clothes. I used to borrow your clothes. Like, those are your work clothes now.
I act like that's my problem, though. Like, I have work clothes, like work tops, like anything that you can put a blazer over and walk into the office. I'm sick of it. And then I have t-shirts, oversized. That's it. I don't have like a normal shirt that I could just put on with like a pair of shorts or like a pair of jeans.
A t-shirt with a pair of shorts.
Right, but like I just want to put a normal shirt on and not feel like frumpy and like.
Why don't you buy some pajamas? Crop tops?
I'm gonna fucking punch you. So you're part of the problem.
I don't know what to tell you. Do you fucking see what I wear? This is my outfit every day. A t-shirt and some leggings. I've got band t-shirts. I've got brewery t-shirts. That's the extent of my wardrobe. I don't have nice shirts anymore since I don't live with you and can't borrow your nice shirts.
I just don't. I spent hours yesterday just looking for like normal plush size shirts that aren't like something I could put a blazer over and wear to work, because then it's just going to turn into a work shirt, and not like oversized graphic tee or graphic crew neck or
Tamara,
like,
I'm just buy or, the shit that you used to buy.
I don't know. I can't find anything like that that still fits me, like, and I don't even know what it is. And so I'm going on, like, I'm searching the internet, I'm searching TikTok, and every plus size girl is wearing crop tops, and I'm like,
I just can't. I have the cutest, I even tried it on before you came over because I was like, oh my god, I think Tamara would think this is like really cute. And then I was like, nope, putting it back in the closet, putting on my oversized t-shirt.
Like, not that I don't think that the crop tops don't look good on them, which they do, but I don't like it. I don't like where it hits on my body. Yeah, if it were to hit in a different spot, I would really like it. But just
for
like
me,
on
it's
me.
Not even the crop top. It's like how high my pants come up.
Yeah.
And then I just look like I have this big, like, pregnant belly underneath my pants. And, like, that's just not cute.
Right. So, and also, the crop top is, like, these shirts that I'm seeing are just not casual. Like, I just want something to wear to the grocery store on a Saturday and not feel like
that's,
I don't
a
need
hoodie
a
no, or a t-shirt.
Like, it's too hot for hoodies. And I just feel frumpy. Like, I want to look nice, but I don't want to, like, be dressed up either. Like, I'm not going out to a bar. I just want to wear normal clothes, and I cannot find anything. And every time that I see them, I'm like, okay, I just want something casual.
What's your budget?
Nothing to, like, $4. No.
Okay, never mind then.
No, to, like, I don't know, just, like, a normal shirt. I don't want to, like,
well,
fucking...
Like, last time I went to the mall, granted, it was, like, probably, like, a year and a half ago.
It was 1992.
Don't go to the mall. I hate the mall. Torrid had like really fucking cute shit. And I wanted
Torrid
to go in there.
Torrid, it's just like $35
so
for a stupid
expensive
shirt.
Do you know how much your bras are? It is stupid. That's why I don't shop
like,
there.
And their stuff is not like
it's
new
not like
release.
It's good quality.
New releases. No. Same shit that's been going on since 2004.
But they have cute tops.
What No, I don't think they do.
Well, they did a year and a half ago when I went to the mall. And I was like, aww. And then I saw the price and I was like, ugh.
They are really, really expensive.
Way too bougie for me.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's all I want. I just want like casual.
You know where you need to go again?
Where?
Kohl's.
Goodwill? I'm not allowed to go into Kohl's.
That's where you got all your cute clothes from.
I'm not allowed to go in there. I did go in there around Christmas time and I was like,
and you were like salivating.
I'm bad. You have no idea how much money I owe from you guys. I practically stole from
the
you.
The creditors are calling all my past roommates still.
They better not. I handle that
they
shit.
They stopped. Okay. Within like the last several years.
She's gone. But still, I felt naughty. Such a rush. But if I see one more fashion blogger style, try on casual tops haul, and they're all athletic tops, you have no style if that's what, like, that's athletic. I can't.
I don't know when the last time you, like, walked into my work was, but that's all these bitches are wearing. Skinny, fat, young, old. They're all wearing the same thing. They're all wearing sports bras, sometimes a little jacket, which is also a crop top, and high-waisted leggings.
I'm so sick of it. It's so boring. I just want some normal fucking clothes that fit me.
Sports bras aren't even that comfy anymore.
The one I'm wearing is, I bought this.
I don't even fucking wear bras anymore. Fuck that shit.
I bought this one.
It's the patriarchy trying to hustle our tits into place.
When I was breastfeeding, like, 6 years ago. And she's held up.
Bitch is still working.
Yeah. Right. So that's just like rant number one.
If it makes you feel better, I really like your Beetlejuice shirt. And I was going to ask if you actually went and saw the musical.
I did.
Was it good?
Oh, it was really good.
Oh my God. See, that's a good shirt. Because now you can tell everyone I saw it, bitch.
But it's also just a black oversized tee.
That says Beetlejuice. And I love Beetlejuice.
Yeah. Anyway.
What's your other gripe?
Okay. I don't remember.
Okay.
Anyway.
Just kidding. Great.
I'm frustrated.
She's going to remember at the fucking end of the episode when I'm exhausted. She's gonna be like, wait. So like airlines, right?
Fuck, I love your impersonation of me. No. I just, I feel like anytime anything funny happens at work, I miss out on it. And I try so hard to make that place funny. Like, I am carrying the weight on my back.
Are you?
They're fucking boring.
I just feel like you're a dork.
Well, at least I can entertain myself.
Yeah.
All these stupid fucking people. All they do is either fucking complain or talk about work. Let's find something new. Something fun. Let's make a joke.
That's what you do at work, is you bitch about work.
Listen.
It's not, I'm called sick of it. Fun.
It's boring.
Yeah. Work is supposed to be boring.
Move on. No. Mm-mm.
I'm sorry.
Mm-mm.
I'm sorry that your experience isn't just like living up to the standards that you set in your head.
Hey, we can have fun, okay? We have to be here 40 hours a week. Let's have some fun.
I don't have fun at work.
God.
I hate people. I hate eggs.
My sister has so much fun with her coworkers.
Are they all young?
I don't know. No.
Your coworkers are 81.
I know. And I only have like 5 coworkers, so it's hard.
Are you the youngest one?
A very small pool. No. There's one that's younger than me.
20s or?
Yes, 20s.
Ugh. People in their 20s suck.
Guess what he gave me for Christmas?
Oh my God. Tell me it was a dildo.
No.
No. Well, then he's boring.
No. Well, he is, was, but like this one. Yes.
Oh my God, really?
I was walking out to my car and like, you know, our last day before Christmas.
Oh, so it wasn't like a work Christmas party that he gave it to you at? Like, hey, open this outside.
And he was like, oh, here, I got you a Christmas present. I'm like, what? And he goes, open up your purse. And I'm like,
oh, my
my God.
That's like so nice of him. Did you take it?
Yeah. Okay. And then so I forgot it in like my purse. And then I forgot it in my purse and came to work the next day.
Went to the airport.
And I go to pull out my name tag and I'm like, oh my God, my name tag. I don't. It's metal.
So it he just absorbed it. Dropped it in your bag?
In like a little compartment that I put all my name tags in.
That's adorable.
Yeah. I had a panic attack because the next day I'm at work. I open it up and I'm like, whew.
Oh, was it like stinky?
Yeah.
Oh.
It wasn't in plastic.
Wow. He just like really dropped it in.
A little sprinkle.
Like a joint?
No. What was it? Just like two little nuggets of weed.
He just dropped it in, not in a bag or anything.
Yeah.
He was a weed fairy.
Listen, it was a parking lot in exchange. And our
not other, even in a bag.
Our other coworkers are around.
What if it had fallen apart in your purse? You'd be like picking out little pieces of weed in your bag. What if you had somewhere to go and there were like little remnants of weed in your bag and there was like a drug dog? I always get so scared about drug dogs. I'm like, can they smell it in my urine? I don't know.
She's a real pothead.
I don't even smoke weed. Eat it.
Yeah. No. I'm sick of work being boring and I want more fun things to happen.
It'll never live up to the good old days. Listen,
like one time I was on lunch. Okay.
Yeah.
And I come back in and everyone is laughing hysterically.
Oh my God, Tamara, they joke without you on purpose.
No.
They go, Tamara just won't get it.
She's gone, guys. Finally.
Did you see the crop top she wore today? It's not good for a bank.
She's trying too hard. No, I come back in and they are like, guess what happened? So they're telling me the story. Apparently this car pulls up into one of our drive-through lanes, like one of the far ones. Mm-hmm. And it's this black girl with a very bad, very obvious blonde wig, sunglasses on, and a face mask, trying to withdraw money from someone who wasn't her account. And the driver's license was a white lady with blonde hair. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So my teller lead takes her transaction and obviously calls her out. And
ma'am, I don't think this is you.
She was like, she's like, I'm going to call him out. She's no, she doesn't care. You know, she's just like, I know this isn't you. So they freak out and the girl goes to drive her car and she can't figure out how to get it into drive.
Oh, no.
So she's stuck there. And then this guy jumps out the side and runs off. Like he was laying down hiding in the back seat. And she starts crying and she's taking God, her
Tamara,
stuff
what
off.
If she was like a kidnap victim or something?
She wasn't. Okay.
Well, why would she be crying? Because and why was he laying down?
I don't know.
Tamara, did you call the cops? I'm stressed.
No, we can't call the cops. So
you can't call the cops for that. When
so
something
she's crying.
Obviously sketchy happened.
She's crying because she can't figure out how to get this car into drive because it's a stolen car.
Did you call the cops then?
No. So she starts crying. And my teller lead goes, hey, there's no crying in fraud.
Oh my God.
How do I miss these
you
exciting things that
That's
happen at work?
That's not funny, Tamara.
I think that was hilarious. Finally, she figured out that the door was ajar and it would go into drive or something.
What kind of car is this?
It was a van.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very strange. I'm stressed.
Like,
I wish you had called the cops.
Like, could you imagine? You're like, okay, this is fake.
I wonder
isn't you.
If she was thinking about that joke the whole time. There's no crying in fraud. And then she turns around and just doesn't even look back. Keeps walking.
No, I'm sure she, like, knowing her, she's like, there's no crying in fraud, sweetie. That's what she probably said. And she's like, can you imagine? You're like, oh God, I got caught. We got to drive away. And she can't figure out to get the car and drive.
Why didn't you call the cops? You have cameras. You could have gotten a license plate.
I mean, they did. We called loss prevention and let them handle it. But we're not allowed to call.
I don't understand why. Couldn't you personally call as a concerned citizen?
I mean, yeah, but like I don't have the energy for that. Don't care.
So then they're just going to go into the next bank and do the same shit.
They're going to do that regardless, even if I call the police.
Unless the police catch them.
They're just going to drive away. Listen, the police do not fucking respond unless they're like, there's guns and violence and we're about to die.
They tell them, I don't know if they're armed. And then they have but to
shut already, up. They've already driven away by this point. So, yeah, you know, it all happened in like 10 seconds. I don't know if
they're armed. Whatever. I'm stressed. I would never want to be a banker.
I just want some exciting stuff to happen. I don't want to get robbed, but I mean, like, funny stuff.
Fucking watch what you ask for. Funny stuff. I want a clown to show up. And instead of opening up a bank account, he honks his nose. Oh, I think. Like, I don't know. I was going to say, he pulls out a gun and robs the place.
Like,
funny.
Anytime someone will write down how they want their change and, like, give it to me, they're like, I'm giving you this note, but I'm not slipping you a note. And I'm like, got it. Wink, wink.
Like, put the money in the bag. Yeah.
You're like, I'm not trying to rob you. I'm like, okay.
Alrighty. You're not wearing a mask. I didn't think you were.
You're 87 years old and you have a cane. I know.
Listen.
Could be a gun cane.
Or a knife. It could just be a front.
Could be.
Drop that fucking cane. Run out. Like an athlete.
Or you know what they do? They will come in with like a fake arm injury.
Who?
Like thievy, fraudulent people.
Okay.
Like pretending to be someone else.
Oh, can you just like help me with my hand?
Yeah. So signatures are a...
Oh my God. So they go, I can't sign.
Yeah. It's another form of like IDing them. Like we make sure their signatures all match. Like every other bank. And they'll come in with like a broken arm, a quote broken arm, and like try to sign it and make a big fuss out of it. You're like, oh yeah, no, it doesn't match.
My I'm trying really hard. It doesn't match even what's on my driver's license.
I know. Mine doesn't either. But it's like when you look at it, it's more of like the style and the flow and like just the way that you sign. I don't know.
Well, like, I used to, like, write in cursive my whole name, every letter, and now it's just a big A with a squiggly line. It looks like a little sperm.
That's adorable.
Yeah. It's real cute.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, how long did it take you to learn that signature?
Who said that to you? I will fight them.
Like, everyone that I sign my name in front of. And then I go, you know what? You can thank Loomis. Because of how many fucking things we had to sign every time we did drops.
And literally,
and like, A.
Everyone's signature. I look at like hundreds of signatures. Everyone's signature is like that.
It's just a squiggly line. Yeah. I don't have time to see her. Big A. Little R. Little I. Little E. Little L.
Nobody does that except for like little old ladies. And then I like stare at them and I'm
just like, aren't you cute?
Just like, no, that's not what I think. Like,
oh,
why is it taking you now 3 minutes to write your name, the date, and the amount?
Hmm? Oh, forgot the punctuation.
Sit there and watch you. And instead of writing like 1/3/24, they'll write January 1st. Oh. And I'm like, ma'am, there is a fucking line of people behind you.
Maybe they don't know what number it is.
That's why I take their deposit withdrawal. So I'll fill it out for you. Just like, sign right here.
Give me this. Yep. Put your name on it.
I'll put your account number on there for you. Give it to me.
Which, again, begs the question, what the fuck are deposit slips for anyways? If you guys fill it all out anyway, I can't even remember the last time I did a deposit slip.
I fill it out in front of them.
I actually, like, one time, it was like years ago, I had to fill out a deposit slip for something, and I was like, I don't even know how to do this. Because, like, so stupid. And they were just like, oh no, it's fine, like, don't worry about
what do you mean how it says name, date, amount.
It's stupid.
Don't be one of those people.
It's just stupid. Look, it's unnecessary. I could just tell you what I want and you punch it in. You puncher. Number puncher.
We have to have an image of it.
No, you don't.
Most people need their image.
I'm not most people.
I know you are not. That is true.
Don't you know me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm special.
Anyway, so 2024, we're making it an exciting year. Hey, I'm living to have fun.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. She said just before she entered her midlife crisis. Bitch just bought a minivan. She is rolling into that midlife crisis in style.
It's like a mid-mom crisis.
I'm living for the weekend, guys.
Listen, it's the all blacked out sport package. Okay.
It did smell really nice.
Thank you.
That's the seats are really slippery.
Black leather.
Squirt some oil on those seats and just have a good time.
Oh, I have.
Mm. Oh.
I did not squirt oil on my seats.
Are you? Oh my God. I thought your whole tit was out. I'm sorry. No, the light from this laptop screen is really fucking with me. And I just saw like, thought she just had her tit out, like examining it.
I was just getting the crumbs out, but. So cute. Just making sure there wasn't any leftover pizza.
Or Jimmy John's.
Listen, I love Jimmy John's, but they are not really freaky fast. A tub.
Yeah, no, fuck that.
I mean, they're fast when you're in there, but for delivery, it's no different. It's
supposed to be 5 minutes or less. I'm sorry that I live 45 minutes away.
I live very close to Jimmy John's.
You do live very close. You live like right down the road from
Jimmy John's. I don't understand why it took them so long.
It's still the one that's like by our old work.
Yeah, they didn't even have the correct soda. They only brought one soda. And I'm like, it's two combos. He's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Where's the other soda? Did you get a refund for the soda?
No, he said he was going to go back and get it. But I had to leave.
That didn't happen.
Aww. We'll find out when we get home. What's happening?
I got it. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
All right. L-E. Okay,
I'm stuck. I'm so excited. Whoop, 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 whoop. I worked really hard on this story, Tamara.
I'm excited now.
Good. And your sister should be excited because she helped push me towards it.
Does she know that she did that?
Was it? Well, I've had it on my list for a really long time, but then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it because Sierra asked for it last time. It's been a hot minute. Since we dug into a juicy cult.
Okay. I still don't know.
Okay.
Talking to my sister behind my back?
No, she literally brought it up right in front of us. Also, while we were recording a podcast, I think. She said, I have a suggestion. And then, okay.
Nope. Don't remember that.
Well, this episode is going to be heavy.
Hot. Did you say episode?
I did. Strap in. Because today, I'm going to talk about Shoko Asahara and his doomsday cult, Aum Shinrikyo.
Definitely don't ever remember hearing you talk about this.
Hey, you.
I don't know if I'm like real selfish or if something's wrong with my brain. But my sister was like, yeah, I need help getting my my windshield fixed. And I'm like, what's wrong with your windshield? She's like, there's a crack in it. We talked about this. And I'm like... What?
She's like, anytime you talk, I just like zone out.
We had a whole conversation on Christmas with John. You were part of it. You didn't. I don't remember any of that. You
need to stop hitting that pen, Tamara. Okay. It's really fucking up your memory.
It might be because sometimes I will like realize something and then be like, wait, I feel high. I didn't smoke anything. Like,
now like you're just permanently stoned.
I was driving to your house. And I'm looking at the navigation thing shows the turnpike is on the other side. And I'm like, is it always on? Why? It's usually, you know, on the other side of 95, but now it's over there. And I'm like, all wigged out by this. And I'm realizing like, no, I know that it's that way because I have to drive over it when I go to your house. So it obviously has to be over there. But I'm like, now I'm like, I've never put two and two together. It's still weird. And then I felt like I was high and I was like really worried. And I didn't like take anything. See, might need a break. So
from the pen or from this? Should I keep going?
From the pen, yeah. I actually haven't smoked a lot at all. Yeah.
You did just drink a THC bevy. How do you feel?
Good.
Yeah, my eyes are real dry. Very chill. I know. It's either my eyes get real dry or my mouth gets real dry. My mouth
is also real dry.
It's like the worst. Yeah. I can't drink enough fluid.
That was like the best. It was a vanilla cola.
Vanilla cola.
It tasted just like a Coke, like a vanilla Coke. It was so good. I would read the brand, but I don't know what that says.
Heirloom. Heirloom hemp.
With a Y.
Yeah.
Like A or...
A-Y-R. Loom. It's really good stuff. Find it at your local fucking smoke shops, maybe? I don't know. I think you can sell it in bars. I'm not really sure. I think Florida's pretty lax about THC drinks now. I don't know. Anyways, let's talk about Shoko Asahara.
Every time you say that, I'm proud of you.
There's a lot of Japanese names in this, and I'm proud of myself.
Okay.
Okay, so Shoko Asahara, originally named Shisuo Matsumoto, was born to a poor family.
Oh, this is a person. Okay.
He is the leader of the cult.
Okay.
You thought the name of the cult was Shoko Asahara. No, it's Om Shinrikyo.
Okay.
We're not there yet. Because right now, he's just a little boy.
Okay.
Born to a poor family, March 2nd, 1955, in Kumamoto, Japan.
A Pisces.
I literally typed.
I'm so sorry.
Go ahead and tell me what astrological sign it is and what that means. I'll wait for it. Okay? Thanks.
Pisces, they're a water sign, obvi. They're a fish.
Sure. Obvi. Everybody knows that.
Yeah. They wear their emotions on their sleeves.
I don't know.
I know. It doesn't feel right to me.
I don't think he does.
They're really kind.
No.
My husband and my daughter are Pisces.
Yeah. He's not kind. He's a fucking bully.
Yeah.
He was born with infantile glaucoma, which caused him to be blind in one eye and partially blind in the other. And because of this, his parents sent him to a boarding school for blind children at the age of 6.
They should have just been smoking out their baby.
What?
For the glaucoma.
I think he was fine, except for the blindness. I don't know. Is glaucoma just blind? I don't know diseases.
Okay.
Don't hurt me. Don't come after me, scientists. So after that day, he never lived with his family again and felt abandoned by them and resentful. But being the only student, I know, right? But I mean, like, I think that that was just like a very encouraged thing to do with blind children in Japan at the time, was like put them in a school where they could like thrive.
That's insane. My husband's aunt wants to take him to the fair tomorrow, and I'm like, no, I'm gonna have to be there for that. I could never like just send my child somewhere, especially different if they're times. Blind. Oh my
different
god,
different times. We're talking like the 60s, early 60s in Japan. So yes, he was partially blind, but he's at a school where he is the only student there who had some sort of sight, because he could still see out of like his right eye.
Okay.
So he made use of it. He was able to make some money out of the situation, and other kids would pay him to like lead them to the candy store and to like local restaurants and stuff. And like, you know, yeah, he'd have to, you know, sometimes extort them for some extra money by like, you know.
Oh, that's not a $5 bill.
Well, he would be like, okay, I led you here. I know I said it would be like $5, but how are you going to get home if you don't give me another 100?
Also, they can't see the bills. Although some bills now in some countries, they have Braille on them.
That's cute.
And they're different sizes.
I also don't know about like Japanese currency back then. I don't know if it's any different than it is now. I don't sure know anything about anything. I don't even I think it's different. Yen, maybe. I sure don't know. Is yen coins? Someone tell me.
Honestly, I deal with foreign currency, and every time someone comes in to get money for like China or Japan, they say a different name every time.
Oh, really?
And look at me like I'm stupid.
Ruples?
Like they'll be like, I need to get, you know, they'll say like yuan. And I'm like, for what country is that for?
That sounds like yen.
Japan. Right.
You mean, maybe.
But it's different. And if I look for yen, it's not going to be there because it's something else. It's different every single time.
I'm so sorry.
Or maybe I'm just stupid. Who knows?
I think it's just different. So, yeah, he'd like, you know, use all this shit to his advantage. He'd extort kids. He'd beat them up. He was a big bully.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So after graduating high school, Asahara tried to get into medical school, but was rejected, which was like, you know, just, you know, the punches keep coming. He's always being rejected for everything. And wah, like, wah, wah.
You can't really see. So Well, so then you need to be a surgeon.
He went into, there were a couple common fields for blind people to enter into back then, which was like acupuncture and pharmacology. So, yeah. I don't know. Right. Like, medicine's a whole different thing, but like acupuncture, first of all, is really hard to say. Second of all,
you have to be pretty exact with that, right?
I would think so, but I then mean, it's like,
maybe
I don't
it's
know.
Like a feel thing.
Yeah, maybe. And like pharmacology, like what if you prescribe something wrong? It's kind of a big deal. Mm-hmm. But whatever. He even opened up his own pharmacy specializing in Chinese medicines, which then went bankrupt when he was arrested for selling fake remedies and was convicted of practicing pharmacy without a license and selling unregulated drugs. He basically would sell tangerine peels in alcohol and like charge an exorbitant amount of money for it and be like, oh, this will heal your fucking rickets. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Wild. Where did I leave off?
At first, I was afraid.
I was petrified.
He was a pharmacist, and then he Bird. Did something.
All right. So, after his businesses failed, that's when he turned his attention to religion. He was super interested in Buddhism and Hinduism, yoga and meditation, and this is when he actually adopts the name that we know him now as, Shoko, meaning an offering of incense in Japanese, and Asahara, which is basically just a fancier surname than Matsumoto was. Like, Matsumoto is known for, like, I guess it was like a poor surname. Asahara is like rich and fancy and regal.
Okay.
I don't know.
Like the Kennedy.
Just like it. So he dove into religion headfirst, and he traveled to India where he met the 14th Dalai Lama and claimed
this may sound stupid, but there's more than one Dalai Lama. Is he like
yes.
the Pope?
Yes, kinda. I think it's yeah. Like you just like get a new one whenever the last one dies. I don't know. I'm just assuming. But like, there's always been a Dalai Lama, and he can't live forever.
I didn't know they was
you know like in Buddhism and Hinduism reincarnation.
Okay,
he like reincarnates or some shit. So, yeah, he claims to have received his blessing to preach real Buddhism in Japan. Bold claim. And he also, I guess the Dalai Lama was, like, interviewed later and was just like, yeah, he was just, like, a really, really strange man. He totally tried to, like, distance himself. He's just like, no, I didn't. I don't even know.
Yeah, that was not me.
But, like, they did actually meet. It's just like, did he really ask you to preach Buddhism? I don't know. So in 1987, Asahara returned to Japan and began marketing himself, basically. He published magazines about himself and started creating manga and anime. Do you know what manga is?
Like comic books?
Kinda, yeah. It's like anime, but a comic book. Anime is like manga but cartoon in motion.
Okay.
I'm not, you know, not into it
either.
It's not my cup of tea. But yeah, in all of this, he featured himself as a Christ-like idol, and like he was able to just like sucker all these people into believing that he was like this like holy figure. And like, he would put pictures out there of him like levitating, quote unquote,
okay.
Where like he's sitting there, legs crossed, you know, in like this meditation position, and he would have somebody take the picture of him while he's like trying to like jump off the ground with his butt muscles, and then they would like take the picture of him jumping midair, and then he'd be like, oh yeah, I was levitating in that picture.
Yeah, there's an easier way to fake
using
that.
Using his little legs as like a butterfly.
There's a much easier way. Come on, dude.
Super
That's
cute.
That's a lot of work.
So, yeah, he started preaching on street corners and began teaching yoga and meditation classes, which eventually gained followers and grew into the group Aum Shinrikyo, meaning Aum Supreme Truth. Within the decade, it would boast 10,000 followers in Japan and over 40,000 worldwide. So, big time. And
It started out like kind of innocent with a vision of a utopia, you know, yada, yada. Like, we were going to save the world. But, you know, through meditation. Later on, of course, it would devolve into what we know today as a doomsday cult, where humanity was going to end and the only people that were going to be saved were the members of the cult.
Don't they all end that way?
I know. It's just like, shame. Such a bummer. I just want to be saved, bro. I didn't sign on for this. So Asahara declared himself to be Christ and also the first enlightened one since Buddha. Again, bold claim. So the group began handing out pamphlets claiming that Asahara could levitate and read minds, and that his blood had supernatural powers, and that his bath water was sacred because it just like touched his body.
Bath
water. Yes. People were paying, like, this is how the cult made money, was he just basically like he sold his blood and his bath water. Oh, and he had one of his top scientists create, I didn't put this in my notes, I just like couldn't figure out where to put it in, but I guess here. The other way of making money, he had one of his scientists create a like helmet that you would have to rent for $7,000 a month. You had to rent it, and it would transfer like his vibes into your head and stuff like that. And then like it was like,
see, that's what I want to do with my coworkers because they're so fucking boring. Like just like my
create
vibe.
A doomsday and helmet.
Then I can hang out with myself all day.
So fun. So yeah, bath water, gross. There were members that even they would pay for his blood and bath water so they could drink it because they thought,
oh my God,
what did you think they were doing with his fucking blood and bath water?
I just started picturing pubes floating in it.
What? Look up a picture of this guy too. He's very chunky and very hairy. Think about that bath water.
You're gonna have to help me spell that.
Shoko, S H O K O, Asahara, A S A H A R A. Think about that bath water.
Salty.
I'm so nauseous right now. Why would you say that when I was looking at those pictures?
Well, you know, and I had to see it. You had to see it. Moving on.
Salty.
Toe juice.
In 1989, the group had amassed enough followers that it was officially granted status as a religious organization, which means tax-free, bitch.
Just pictures.
God. Around this time, Asahara began giving speeches at Japan's elite universities, and this gained the group a ton of highly intelligent graduates. Why do I say that every time? I say graduates. Anyways, these fucking people, they wanted in. They were buying in. Om Shinrikyo offered these young, brilliant minds a simpler, more meaningful life than what a life of materialism and stressful work had to offer them. So, with his followers in tow, Asahara set up base camp at a compound at the base of Mount Fuji and began what I would consider to be torture of his followers. But he thought of it as a training and extended meditation. Some of this training included extreme fasting, sleep deprivation, again, extreme cold therapy, hanging upside down for extended periods of time, and even electroshock therapy. It's a lot, mm-hmm. and not everyone can handle this kind of training. A lot of people can't handle this kind of training.
No.
And unfortunately, a devotee, 21-year-old Terayuki Majima, suffered cardiac arrest and died after being plunged into ice water over and over and over again, leading to the first death attributed to the cult, even if it was quote-unquote accidental.
That's what I think of, like, all those people that do the cold plunges. Like, they do them every morning.
Your fucking heart can't handle. And not only that, like, I think he actually, like, it was, like, hypothermia, but also, like, which probably, like, sent him into cardiac, mm-hmm. like, just sounds fucking horrible. Ugh. What wasn't accidental in this whole thing
was how they decided to handle things after the death. If this information had gotten out that someone had died training for what should have been a spiritually enlightening experience, that wouldn't look super awesome for the group or for Asahara. After all, by this time, there were already like parents of the university students sniffing around, trying to figure out what their kids were up to. So this is when things start like heading towards sinister. What do your TikTok people say? That sinister babe or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never even seen that TikTok ever.
What's a TikTok?
What is it? TikTok free since 93.
That's what she always says.
Yeah. So Asahara convinces his closest disciples that teriyaki just... Oh my god, I just said teriyaki.
I was wondering.
My autocorrect. Teriyuki. Asahara convinced his closest disciples that Teriyuki just wasn't ready for the spiritual enlightenment. But that's all right, because since he died under Asahara's supervision, he would get another chance at enlightenment when he was reincarnated. So in the meantime, we just gotta get rid of this body.
What are they doing with his body?
They dispose of it. They burned it and move on with their lives. Well, some of them at least. One member couldn't carry this secret for long. Shuji Taguchi, who was a friend of Teriyuki's, kept that secret for a few months but couldn't live with it any longer. He told some of the members, he confided in these members who he thought were his friends, that he was thinking about going to the police and he wanted to leave the cult. And in February of 1989, Asahara basically was just like torturing him to see if he would like stay with the cult, don't go to police, blah, blah, blah. He wasn't able to convince him to stay loyal. So
his friends like told on him?
Yes, because they were devoted and he was like considered a dissenter. So Asahara ordered him to be killed.
Oh, and Lord.
Yeah, one of many. I cannot get into every single person that Asahara ordered to be killed because we would be here for 10 years.
Oh, great.
Literally, the list is like, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. A small group of devotees confronted Taguchi, beat him, and wrapped a rope around his neck and strangled him to death. After once again disposing of the body, Asahara then legitimized the murder by convincing his followers that anyone who stands against Om are enemies of the truth, and that they are actually saving Taguchi from the bad karma that would have come back to him from going to the police. And the followers believed him. So now we're like setting in the precedent that like anybody that we kill that's going against us, it's fine, because if they're going to tattle on us, they're going to get bad karma. So we're just like stopping that right in its tracks. And if
they just like let them go live a life with bad karma, then they have bad karma.
Yeah, basically. And then, yeah, it's just like, and if we kill them, then they'll have a chance at, you know, redoing this whole thing when they get reincarnated. So like it's all Gucci.
Yeah.
To Gucci.
To Gucci.
So all the while this crazy shit's going on, Tsutsumi Sakamoto, an anti-cult lawyer, was working with worried family members, putting together a case to dismantle the cult. And on October of 1989, Tsutsumi had taped an interview with the Tokyo Broadcast Network where he was going to go public with the information that he had a vial of Asahara's blood tested and that it was indeed not supernatural.
How would you test for that?
So basically, Asahara was so like confident in himself and believed his own shit that he willingly sent a vial to this guy and was like, test it, bro. I'm all there. Like, it's totally supernatural. I got powers you wouldn't even believe, man. And then they like tested it and compared it to a normal person's blood. And they were just like, yeah, this is the same. There's nothing. There are no abnormalities. Nothing is off. You're perfectly fine for being a little bit overweight. Like,
They just don't know again, how to test everything for supernatural. Is Gucci. There's no supernatural
test. All that they're saying is like your blood is equivalent to another person's blood, which means you're no better than the rest of us. Which like pissed off Asahara because he's like, you're testing it wrong, man. You're just trying to bring me down.
Exactly. I'm on his side.
Tamara, you no, can't I'm be not, on I'm his not side. On his you side. Cannot be on his side.
No.
It was the bad guy here. He's a very, very, very bad man. So, yeah. Unfortunately for Tsutsumi, the network had secretly showed someone within the cult the interview. And then the cult was able to pull some strings and get the story scrapped. A few days after that, Asahara ordered 6 of his followers to commit yet another murder for the sake of the cult. Our very first trigger warning! It's not super duper graphic, but it does involve a child.
A bebe. I hate you. Oh my
I'm sorry.
God.
I'm going to whiz through it. On October... Nope.
That was your birthday.
Yeah, but it's not. Because it's actually November. On November 5th, the 6 men broke into Tsutsumi's apartment that he shared with his wife and infant son. They first struck Tsutsumi on the head with a hammer and then injected him with potassium chloride. And when that didn't work, they ended up strangling him to death. His wife was beaten and injected and she succumbed. And lastly, his son was injected and his face was covered with a cloth. The attackers then removed the teeth.
Of all of them?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, the infant probably didn't have teeth, but... I think he was 14 months old.
They have teeth.
Ugh. Took them out then. And then they placed the bodies in metal drums that were disposed of in different places across the country. And any evidence and weapons that were used were dropped into the ocean. Even though they removed the victim's teeth to avoid identification, their bodies wouldn't even be found until 1995, 6 years later, after the terrorist attacks would occur. So,
ooh,
yeah.
Giving us a little...
Well, and the other thing is, like, they still... So they removed the teeth and all that, but they had an Om Shinrikyo button on their shirt or something, and it was left at the crime scene. But even so, even though the police immediately suspect the cult's involvement... when the family disappears, especially since the lawyer was literally working on a case to break up the cult, they wouldn't investigate it because thanks to America, the separation of church and state was instated in Japan and it was super duper strict. So honestly, they just like didn't even investigate it. Because they knew it had something to do with the religion and they were like, yeah, I'm not getting stuck in the middle of that.
Ugh.
Yeah. So despite all this crazy shit going down, Asahara still wants to grow his cult and he is not being shy about it. Especially like, you think he'd want to lay low for a bit? Nah. So he put himself out there in the media by appearing on talk shows and doing interviews. And people thought he was, like, super funny and cute and entertaining and, like, disarming, you know, super harmless. The group even came out with a hit song called Guru's March. I know. He wrote a lot of music. And allegedly, there was one song that he specifically wrote about the chemical that was used. And I tried to find it everywhere and I couldn't fucking find it. And I was really upset. But...
Did you try YouTube?
Yes.
Just kidding.
I will kill you. The group came out with a hit song called Guru's March, which was so popular that kids would be singing it at school, which was adorable. In July of 1989, he made another push for power when he followed in the steps of Jim Jones and got into politics, because that's what cult leaders love to do. His campaign, though, was a total shit show. Him and his followers would wear crazy costumes, and they basically became a parody of Japanese elections and trying to convince people that the world was going to end unless they joined Ohm. But in the end, he lost the election miserably and ended up with less than 2,000 votes,
probably coming from like his followers, which I mean, like, it's less than I thought he was gonna get. But also, like, considering he had like 10,000 followers in Japan, uh-oh, you'd think that he'd have more. Either way, he's a really sore loser. And this is basically where he decided that no one in the world deserved to be saved. So, yeah, wow. This is like the really funny part. He explains to all of his followers that the election was stolen from him.
Okay.
There was a conspiracy being led by several countries to suppress his movement.
Oh, Lord.
That sound familiar?
Yeah.
There's only one way humanity can survive now. Final war! Okay, so since Asahara had been recruiting from universities all over Japan, he had several brilliant minds at his disposal who could help him with his devious plans. But first, he had to whittle down exactly what he wanted to do. He instructed one member to start tinkering with nuclear, microwave, and laser technologies. He had a bitch load of scientists underneath him.
I just keep picturing him as a toddler. Every time you say
he's like, stuff. He's a toddler in his brain. I don't know. Doesn't play well in the sandbox. He had another scientist trying to develop bioweapons like Ebola and anthrax and fucking botulism. He sent another one off to purchase tanks, fighter planes, nuclear warheads. I suppose it's a good thing he couldn't get his hands on those.
Holy crap.
The rest of the group started stocking up on guns, which they ended up like not getting that many of. I think they tried to like make their own, but they didn't have that many. And later, one of the chemists hit the jackpot when he perfected, quote unquote, I don't think it was perfective because it wasn't nearly as strong as he wanted it to be, but he perfected a homemade sarin nerve gas. So if anyone's wondering what sarin nerve gas is, are you wondering, Tamara?
I was thinking it was like Agent Orange.
No. According to the CDC, it's a human-made chemical warfare nerve agent, and it's one of the most toxic and fast-acting of known nerve agents. So it basically attacks your nervous system and the way that your muscles contract. So after initial exposure, you'll feel a little bit tight in the chest at first, a little bit of a runny nose, and then as it like works through your system, it'll become harder and harder to breathe as your muscles seize up. You will lose control of your bodily functions, meaning you'll uncontrollably like vomit, defecate, urinate, and then you will end
it's
up
like Saturday night.
God. You'll end up suffocating to death in a series of convulsive spasms, which just sounds like the worst possible way to die. So, Asahara liked the idea of sarin gas because it was the most cost-effective chemical to produce that would get his message across. So, with this chemical weapon in hand, Asahara put the next part of his plan into motion and carried out the first confirmed sarin attack. The first. There are so many, but I won't get into all of them. In June of 1994, in Matsumoto, Japan, the group had a plan to release the sarin gas into the courthouse where three judges would be expected to rule against the cult in a real estate dispute. But these buttheads overslept and arrived to the courthouse. I know. It's like really funny. Every single one of their attacks kind of fails in a way. And it's just because they're fucking idiots. Like, they're so smart, but they're so dumb.
I mean, it sucks when the power goes out and then you don't know overnight and then you miss your alarm. It never goes off.
I think it's just because they were like, and then you can't make it to the university airport, students, and they're just like, sorry, man, had a rager last night. So, yeah, they ended up arriving to the courthouse after hours, so there were no judges to gas. Instead, they made their way over to the three-story apartment building where the judges lived, and using a converted refrigerator truck and fans to disperse the aerosol gas, they were able to release a cloud of gas into the neighborhood. Within the hour, police began receiving distressing calls from paramedics about their patient's symptoms and what they all described as a fog with a pungent and irritating smell floating by. All in all, 274 people were treated, 5 residents died in their homes, and 2 more died after being admitted to the hospital. The last victim of this particular gas attack died in 2008 after being in a coma for 14 years.
Right?
Holy wild. Shit.
Yeah. And this was like, it was not that potent, and it was released in open air. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's scary shit. So, after seeing the devastation caused by releasing the sarin gas into the open air, Asahara got to thinking that the effects would be all the more devastating if they released it into a closed, densely populated space where people couldn't easily escape from, aka the subways. Fair. God damn it, Tamara.
I really don't want to go to the fair tomorrow.
Then fucking don't.
Well, I can't just be like, allow...
Someone's going to do sarin gas.
I can't allow my child to go.
I hate the fair.
Me too.
Awful. Awful, awful. Mostly I just hate people. So Asahara gets his chemist to whip up another big batch of sarin. And because the last one wasn't as strong as he wanted, he had his personal physician oversee the project to make sure that it was up to par. On the morning of March 20th, at the peak of rush hour, Asahara sent 5 followers to the subways, each on separate rail lines with two or three plastic bags. Each one had 2 bags except for one group.
Okay.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. So yeah, they all had the bags of sarin to be punctured once they got onto the train.
And so are they killing themselves or are they wearing hazmat suits or something?
So they, I think a couple of them wore like face masks, like for like flus or whatever. And then like a couple of them stabbed him so quick that they just were able to exit the train. One of them actually ended up poisoning himself, but apparently there was like an antidote that one of the getaway drivers had.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. Bumble butts. That's okay. What we call them. So he sent 5 followers to the subways, each on separate rail lines with the bags. And after they would exit the train where a getaway driver would be waiting to pick each one up. So like it was, you know, 5 teams with 2 people. The first team boarded the Chiyoda line at the first stop, punctured one of the plastic bags with the sharpened end of an umbrella, and exited the train. As the sarin gas filled the train car, passengers began to choke and collapse, and the source of the gas wasn't found until the 4th stop, where 2 station attendants noticed the gas leaking from the package and sacrificed their lives to remove it from the train. They both ended up dying later. Yeah. The second team boarded the JR East Psycho train line and
punctured... Psycho?
I always want to say that, but it's Psycho.
Oh, okay.
Train line. And punctured both packets with enough force to bend the tip of the umbrella. The train then continued for 14 more stops before another station attendant removed the bags of sarin. The third team boarded the Marinucci line, donned a wig and fake glasses, like your, you know, like your driver from this week's episode, maybe last week's episode. I can't remember. They're all blurring together.
I don't know, but I'm picturing a wig like Gypsy Rose's wig.
Yeah, I was picturing a big blonde wig. It's big old bug eye glasses.
It's blonde and it has ringlet curls.
Yeah, you're right. That is what I'm picturing. So, yeah. And then they tried to poke through the bag, but they must have gotten spooked or something because they dropped the bags and bailed. So one bag was left completely intact, and then the other one only had a small hole in it, which wasn't found by anyone for over an hour and 40 minutes. And while no one died on this particular train line, over 200 people were left in critical condition just from that. Like one bag not even touched, and the other one had a teeny tiny little hole in it.
I'm picturing these as grocery bags tied up.
No, they're like little plastic bags.
But I'm picturing like an inflated plastic grocery bag, like as if you would have like tied a beach ball with a plastic bag.
Too big.
I just need you to get in my brain and know where
I don't
want to
be in your brain. Think smaller. They had to like wrap it in like they had to hide it in like a newspaper or a magazine that they bought that morning.
Or like the little pocket in their underwear.
No.
Okay.
But maybe, see, again, I don't know.
They're being boring. People are boring. Make things more interesting for yourself.
I'm just telling you the story. I'm not here to speculate on what they put in their underwear. So
So where are we at? The fourth team?
The fourth team boarded the northeast-bound Hibiya line and punctured their two packets of sarin. And after two stops, passengers began panicking and opening the windows. By the third stop, people were finally being evacuated. And then lastly, the fifth team boarded the southwest Hibiya line. And unlike the rest of the teams, they had three bags of sarin and had the most punctures in the bags compared to the other teams. But these bags were only on board for one stop before a passenger noticed, like, the bags of leaking gas and kicked them out of the open door onto a subway platform, which then killed four people on the platform.
Oh, Lord. So maybe you already said this, but are they, like, getting on these trains at the exact same time?
Like, or is it right after the other?
Okay. So, like, but it doesn't give them enough time to, like, for, like, the people to communicate and say, like, something's happening. This happened. This happened. Like,
I don't think so. And this was, like, before cell phones. I think it was just, like, highly coordinated. Get on, puncture the bag, drop it, get off, get to the getaway driver. One of them, yeah, one of the guys, it was the ones that got spooked and ran away, I think. I think they ended up, like, accidentally poisoning themselves because, no, it wasn't them. It was another team. One of the teams, they were supposed to, like, get on, pop the bag, and then get off before the doors closed. And one of them, I think, got stuck on there for, like, a whole stop. I'm pretty sure I read that. And then they ended up having to be, like, antidoted when they got to the getaway driver.
Oh, dang it. No.
So they hold the door. Fire. I know.
I can't breathe.
This is not funny. After all five attacks were complete, there were 12 people dead, which is, like, wild. Only 12 people dead. And over 5,000 injured. To this day, it's still the deadliest terrorist attack in Japan's history. Aside from when we bombed them, I think. I would consider that to be a terrorist attack.
Yeah, definitely.
They didn't fucking ask for that. No. So, at the time, police still weren't really making the connection that Alm was behind the sarin attacks. But lucky for them, they arrested one of the members on an unrelated murder kidnapping charge, which was, like, it was related, but, like, they didn't know it was related. Like, he was arrested for the murder kidnap of someone that Asahara ordered him to murder and kidnap. So he got arrested for that. And then he saw this as his way out of the cult. And he ended up confessing to both the murder and also the sarin attack. And in this confession, he laid out all the key people in the attacks and high-ranking members of the cult for the police. And also enlightens them on several Ohm compounds, which would then be raided. Over the next week of nationwide raids, police uncovered so much stuff. I made a list. They found explosives, a Russian military helicopter, a safe containing millions of dollars in U.S. currency and gold, a laboratory used to manufacture LSD, meth, and truth serum, prison cells, many of which still contained Ohm prisoners. And to top it all off, a stockpile of chemicals that could produce enough sarin to kill 4 million people.
Oh, ooh. My God.
After this find, Asahara went into hiding. But it wouldn't be too long before he was found. On May 16th, he was found hiding in a wall of Ohm headquarters, covered in his own urine and surrounded by... I know. He's like, my urine is holy. It's fine. And surrounded by $100,000. I was unclear whether it was US dollars or yen.
It was peepee dollars now.
It's probably not spendable now, yeah. When police tried to arrest him, he told them, no one is allowed to touch the guru's body. And they were like,
sure, buddy.
Okay, you're under arrest for the murder of 12 people. And he was like, batted his cute little eyes and said, could a blind man like me do such a thing? And then they promptly arrested him. So
little old me.
I know.
I pee-peed. I just a baby.
I can't see anything. I'm over here sitting on my butt trying to flap and levitate. Drinking my own pee. So all in all, about 200 members of Ohm were arrested and charged with various crimes, and 13 members were sentenced to death, including Shogo Asahara. After an 8-year-long trial, which was dubbed by the media as the trial of the century, you know, they get the cult leader. We get fucking O.J. Simpson. Mm. It's not fair. He was found guilty on 13 charges of murder, which were dropped down from 17, which he is guilty of so fucking many more, homie. Mm. And he was sentenced to death by hanging. His execution was postponed a few times due to arrests of other OWN members, but eventually on July 6th in 2018, he was hung alongside 6 other cult members.
Wait, 2018? He was hung?
Yeah, in Japan.
Oh.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Wild, right? Yeah. He was cremated, and as of the last report in 2020, I couldn't find any update after 2020, his ashes were still located at the detention center where he was executed because there was a fight going on between his kids and his wife. They couldn't figure out who gets the ashes.
None of you get it.
We're going to hold on to it then. Now, you might be relieved that he's gone. The danger's over. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Is it though? While it's true that after the trial, Om Shinrikyo lost 80% of its membership, one of the few high-ranking members that somehow escaped serious prison time, Joyu Fumihiro, took over leadership and in January of 2000 rebranded the cult under the new name Aleph and tried to distance itself from the violence that Om was known for, all while still maintaining its 30,000 followers in Russia and thousands of followers in Japan. In 2017, the Aleph headquarters was raided after reports of members still being extorted. And in 2019, the Tokyo High Court ruled that they would continue to surveil Aleph and its splinter group Hikari no Wa, aka Circle of the Rainbow Light, explaining that they consider them to still be dangerous religions. The fact is, both groups have members that were involved in Om Shinrikyo and all of those dangerous practices, and that there is no evidence of a major change between the former group and the current group. This is from the Tokyo High Court. They're still watching them, and they believe that they're still dangerous. And that is the insane, terrifying story of Shoko Asahara and his doomsday cult, Om Shinrikyo. And honestly, that is just a summary of some of the crazy shit that they were up to. Seriously, go into our show notes. Check out the links in our show notes. This cult killed and injured so many more people than I even had time to talk about. The technology that they were trying to develop is horrifying. We're talking botulism, Zyklon B, death rays. They were fucking working on it. It is fucking wild. I sincerely hope that they've chilled the fuck out, but you just like don't know till it's too late.
But they haven't done anything recently.
I mean, they're definitely still fucking over their members, but
no terrorist attacks, no trying to kill the world, because
as far as I know. Okay. There's a link that I'm putting in our show notes though. It is like a chronological list of confirmed and suspected attacks and like hired hits and stuff like that. And it's fucking insane. That's what took me so long to do my fucking notes. Because I was like, should I put this in there? Should I put this in there? I was like, so many like terrorist attacks and like trying to like unleash botulism on the world. And there was an anthrax attack and like all this other stuff. It's insane.
So do they know that they have this stockpile of this dangerous stuff?
Well, as far as I know, they raided it back in 95. But again, they still have like followers in Russia and stuff like that. And we're not on super awesome terms with Russia. And we were kind of named as one of the sources, as one of the countries that was like trying to suppress the fucking movement. So doesn't sound awesome. So yeah, that's super fun, super heavy. Sierra, I hope I did it justice.
I'm scared.
Tamara
now
doesn't give two shits. She's just over here like,
no,
zen.
I'm scared there's still a thing.
We just won't know until it's too late.
Oh geez, I guess it's just everything.
you know, I mean, they're still under surveillance, but as long as they're active, as long as they're still making money from people that they're like extorting, then they have access to stuff. I mean, they had like tons of sites where they were manufacturing drugs and chemicals and all this other stuff.
Woohoo! Fantastic. What a distraction.
So I love a cult.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in the cult, but I love reading about the cult and learning about the cult. And this one's fucking wild. Oh, and there's another podcast. I think the podcast is actually called Cults. And they do a really good two-part series on this. And there's also like an episode on Netflix, like want to be a cult leader or some bullshit. It's like a little 20-minute like blurp blurp. It's kind of cute. Other than that, go check out my show notes. Anyways, we've already gone on really long. Bye.
Bye, friends.